Corinthians 5 and verse number 14. Now remember, our theme tonight is the Christian as the ambassador. We started it this morning, we're just going to continue tonight along this wonderful theme. Next day we're looking at the Christian as an instrument, but tonight the Christian as an ambassador. We noticed this morning that an ambassador is a diplomatic minister of highest order, man of great dignity, and he has a great responsibility, and he has a great motive, he has a great message. We thank God for all tonight who are saved by God's matchless grace. We know the joy of being an ambassador. Dear brothers, sung tonight, this is not our home. We're just strangers here in a foreign land. We're here for one purpose only. We're here as ambassadors. And our message is, we pray you, in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Now I trust that maybe those here tonight, who may be still strange to his love and to his grace, you don't really know him as your father. You're not really a Christian. You're not really a child of God. This may be the night when we are reconciled to God through the merit of the shed blood of his beloved Son. Verse number 14 now. Now notice first of all then, the great responsibility and now the mighty love. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because he thus joined to the one died for all them were all dead. And then he died for all that they which lived should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Now I want you to get that. If we are in Christ, we're a new creation. If you're not in Christ, you're still in Adam, in the old creation. And that's corrupt. That's under the curse. That's under condemnation. That is in death, and in darkness, and in defeat, and in bondage. If you're not yet a child of God, beloved, that's where you are. We want you to change that tonight by being reconciled to God, and tonight becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things passing away, all things becoming new, because we are in Christ Jesus. And there's no midway. Oh no, my friend, we're either in Adam or we're in Christ. Either in the old nature, old creation, or we're in the new creation in Christ Jesus. Now you may have been christened as a baby. You may have been confirmed. You may be a church member. You may be a communicant. You may be baptized by immersion. You may be a pastor. You may be a teacher. You may be a deaconess. But beloved, if you're not in Christ, by the merits of the shed blood, with all the love of my heart, I want to say, you're still in the old creation under the curse. May God give us grace to recognize our true position tonight as either in Adam or in Christ. Verse number 17 again. Notice the little word, therefore. You ask, well, what is it therefore? Do you want to know what it's therefore? Just go to the previous verses, the context, and come back with me quickly. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. I'm so glad about that, aren't you? Amen? Now notice again. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. You notice? All things are become new. All things are of God. Because they belong to the new creation. The new creation. And because you're in Christ. All things belong to God and they belong to you. Because we're in Christ. The wonder of it all. Who has reconciled us to himself. Notice now. By my good works. By my good name. By my good character, by my benevolence, by my sacrificial giving, oh, no, no, no. See what it says? reconciled us to God to himself by Jesus Christ, and there's no other means of reconciliation. None whatever. Romans 5:10 makes it crystal clear. We are reconciled to God by the death of his Son, but we are being saved by his life, and has given to us. Now notice this, those of us who are in the new creation, those of us who know the all things of God in Christ Jesus, is also given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Oh, what a ministry this is. This includes each and every believer. If tonight you are in Christ, is given to you this ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. See how it works out now in the next verse. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now notice verse 20. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, all the high honor, all the great dignity. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now verse 1 of the next chapter gives us our sufficiency. Then we, as workers together with him, isn't that lovely? Remember, we are his ambassadors, but we're not going forth in our own charges, not in our own resources. Our sufficiency is in God. We are co-workers together with him. Oh, the joy of these wonderful words. Inkerlook in Scotland some years ago, Mr. Scott, who belonged, I was a proprietor of the Scott Jam, really fine Christian family. Robertson, a jam, are also a fine Christian family. Mr. W. Fraser Naismith, he and I were ministering at a conference in Birmingham during the last war. And you know the Save the Preserves, the jam, the jelly. You know, you take it from the jar and you put it into a little jam dish. You know, a preserve dish, you see. And it would be nice. But during the war years, the Save, the jam, they just left it in the jam jar, you see, and put that on the table. But they had crocheted a nice little covering, you see, and they took away the plainness from the jar. That's what they'd done at this conference. But unfortunately, Fraser Naismith, he was a representative of John F. Scots of Kurook. That was his calling, a representative of Scots of Kurook's jam. But this was Robertson on the table. So I'll never forget him. Even the conference said, do you mind passing the apology for preserves? He worked for Scots, you see. Anyway, Mr. Scott had passed away. He's from the Scott family. And they invited Mr. Carr from Kurlook, the Carr Biscuit, another fine Christian gentleman. They go to Kurlook, to conduct the funeral service. He looked at the watch. The only way he could get there was to take this fast train leaving Carlisle. The train did not stop after Kerstairs until it got to Glasgow. Had he gone right through the Glasgow in the train, he'd been too late for the funeral. How could he get that train to stop at Motherwell, quite nearby to Kurlook? He didn't know. Anyway, he put on his frock coat, swallowtail coat, you know, and his pinstripe trousers, silk hat, went down to Carlisle Station, asked for a ticket, the Motherwell. Station master said, sorry sir, this train does not stop at Motherwell, it goes right into Glasgow. Sir, I'm an ambassador, and this train must stop at Motherwell. He looked at him, dressed in all his wonderful morning suit, you know. So he got his ticket, you see. So he thought he'd better be honest. So he went to the station master and said, now look, I'd be a little bit deceptive, but he said, you know, I said, I'm an ambassador. Because I want this family to stop at Motherwell, I may be there in time to conduct this funeral service. Said, I'm not an ambassador of Her Majesty, or His Majesty then, but I'm an ambassador of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This man has straightened himself, sir, that's far more important than being an ambassador of His Majesty of this realm. You're an ambassador of the greatest sovereign of all, and the train will stop at Motherwell. He got in the first class compartment, sitting there with another man. Train went, stationed there at Carlisle, got to Kirstair. Now Kirstair is a divisional point. One part of the train goes to Edinburgh, the other part goes to Glasgow. Mrs. Boswell and I, before she became Mrs. Boswell, we're coming home from the Keswick Convention in 1936, and here, somehow or other, she lent her handbag in the Glasgow section while we went on to the Edinburgh, you see? But anyway, by the time we got to Edinburgh and I reported the thing, somehow or other they got from Glasgow and that handbag had come down to Edinburgh. When the Lesker's care, the man sitting opposite Mr. Carr said, well, let us settle down for the night. Next stop is Glasgow. Excuse me, sir. Next stop is Motherwell. Oh, no. This train never stops at Motherwell. Goes right through to Glasgow. Next stop is Glasgow. Sir, this train will stop at Motherwell. I'm traveling this train weekly. And he said, I'm sure the train won't stop at Motherwell. Goes right on to Glasgow. Sir, there's an ambassador on this train, and the train will stop at Motherwell. An ambassador? Did you see him getting on? Yes, I saw him getting on the train. And I am quite sure the train will stop at Motherwell. Are you so excited? Well, I must be awake. If I'm asleep, you'll wake me up. You'll wake me up. I want to see that ambassador leaving the train. I haven't seen an ambassador in person. Well, they say you'll see one at Motherwell. Sure enough, the train was getting near to Motherwell, and it got slower and slower and slower. Just, my, it's true. I must look out the window. So while he was looking out the window, Mr. Carr took his silk hat down, put on his heavy coat, took his briefcase. Just, do you mind excusing me? I mean, you know, you're the ambassador. Yes, I'm the ambassador of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Train. You get the picture in my mind? There's a dignity about being an ambassador of Jesus Christ. There's no calling so high. There's no profession so noble than to be the ambassador of the bond slave of Jesus Christ. Remember your high calling. May the wonder it grip your heart with my heart tonight. Right, Olin, you got the acrostic on the ambassador, the capital A, an ambassador has an authority. His authority for going forth. In John chapter 17, I want you to notice this if you will, please. In John 17 and verse number 18. John 17 and verse number 18, these wonderful words. Now, by the way, don't you try that with some of your real recoupness across here. They might not do to give you the same treatment. 17 of John and verse number 18. This wonderful intercessory prayer of our adorable Lord Jesus, and he says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Now we go forth not our own design, our own desire. We have his authority. And just like the ambassador of any government going to a foreign land, they must have the document, they must have the authority, and they must have the seal stamped upon that document that they are authentic, bona fide, ambassadors of the king, the government, their country. Now thank God tonight from the risen Lord. Hope you say this is not before the cross, right? Chapter 20. Same book. Chapter 20, please, and verse number 21. There's number 21, the Lord Jesus, having shown his disciples the nail prints in his hand and feet, and his spirit and sign, says, now, Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. O child of God, do you recognize the great privilege and the great honor, whether the Sunday school children, whether my friend the children's work, Bible class work, camp work, the grown-ups, whether my friend to the teeming, growing crowds of people, or to the individuals, each and every one of us here tonight, saved by His Master's grace, we are ambassadors, and He says, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. Father, as you sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. Remember, we're here for one purpose alone. It is that we might be His ambassador. We are here as His representative. We'll come to that a little later in our study tonight. But now notice the message that we've got to proclaim. That message we read in verse number 17. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. Another the word, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Oh, the wonder of that wonderful statement. What a message we've got to proclaim. Reconciliation to God by His beloved Son. What is our message? Our message is a message of love. A message of love. And here, my friends, I said this morning, the man who sent forth an ambassador, he must know the language of the people to whom he has been sent. Now, wherever you go in the world, beloved, we are ambassadors, but there's one language all men and women and boys and girls know and are responsive is the language of love. The language of love. The poor Samaritan, the poor man, the Samaritan road, the Jericho road, the good Samaritan came, a minister of love to that dear man. Know the cry need for love all around us tonight, ambassador. May I just bring something before your heart? It meant so much to me, but sometimes then we sing a hymn. And I said one time earlier in our study, hymnology is not always good theology. And there's one hymn we sing. We haven't sung it since coming here, so it's all right. But God and the sinner reconciled. Beloved, God did not need to be reconciled to the sinner. God's great heart of love is ever toward the sinner, but we have to be reconciled to God. God had not estranged Himself from us, but we, because of sin, have estranged ourselves from God. And God's great heart of love ever is toward us, and we who have been reconciled, we must be reconciled to God. But notice that only one way is on the merit of the shed blood of His beloved Son. Remember the prodigal son. When he was away from the father's heart was ever toward him. Now I am quite convinced that dear dad went many a time to the door, on the top of the house, in the house of flats, looking down the highway, will he come home today? Oh, that father's heart was at breaking point. That father loved his son. Loved his son, and he was waiting for the moment when the son would come back to him. The father did not need to be reconciled to the son. The son had to be reconciled to the father. And friend, we don't need, God does not need to be reconciled to us. But we must be reconciled to God. Remember it says in Isaiah chapter 59, your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God. But thank God tonight through the cross work of Jesus Christ, this one of you no sin, who became sin for us. He removed the great barrier, and the door stands open wide tonight. And on the merits of that shed blood, we can all draw near and be reconciled to God. So tonight, the message of the ambassador I would use right here If you're still restrained, I beseech you, I pray you, in Christ's name, be reconciled to God tonight. We met John in Scotland some years ago. There was a couple, and they were very happily married. But the end of happiness was given to them a delightful little baby boy. When those boys were 18 months old, the father began to stay up rather late at night. He said his work was keeping him busy, and he couldn't get home. So the story is this. He got into bad company and began to stay out until the time came when he was estranged to his wife and deserted her and the little boy. The boy was about 5 years of age and he developed double pneumonia. And in the interval, the mother had been reached with the gospel, reconciled to God, and gloriously converted. They sent for the father, telling him about the son being so very, very ill. He thought it was just a gag to get him to go back. He wouldn't go. The boy died. Lord, he's the boy to heaven. The father got the news. He went his way to the house. He knocked at the door. He brought in. As you know, in the old country, we've got funeral parlors now, but not the same way you have them across here. These are the same number. Those were the days when the corpse stayed in the house until the day of burial. Some of them taken down to the church and left there for the time being. More often than not, it's left in the home. There in the parlor table. There was a white casket. And in that casket, that little body. Sitting other side of the casket with the mother and the wife. That man came into that room. Everything was spotlessly clean. Everything shining. He looked across that casket. The other side of the casket, he saw his wife. There was a tranquility, a serenity, a glow about her. He could not understand. He broke down and sobbed. And he pushed his hand right across the casket and said, "Mary, will you forgive me?" She looked up, said, "John, you're forgiven already. I never ceased to love you." You got it. Mary did not need to be reconciled to John. It was John to be reconciled to Mary. Said, "I never ceased to love you." And he was reconciled to his wife over the body, the death of his own son. Friend, God's great heart of hand of love toward you. He's never ceased to love us as sinners. His hand of pardon and forgiveness is out tonight. He wishes you to come back and say, "Lord, accept me." And you know what you get? You're accepted already in my beloved son. You're reconciled already. I never cease to love you. Oh, may that love reach your heart. May that love bring us all down tonight. Those of us who know this wonderful reconciliation, do we also know the corresponding responsibility that we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ? Let's go to the next point because we must hurry on. Next little curse is the word bond. Remember it says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 20, that if I read the scripture in case I must quote it, you know that it's possible. All men are still frail. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 20, "For which I am an ambassador in bond." In bond. Now thank God tonight we are not bound by chains like that dear man was in days gone by, bound there in that Roman prison. But he says to me, "Bind the prisoner, but the word of God is not bound. The word of God is free." But we are bound by Jesus Christ. Is it lovely? We're bound by the cords of silken love. My friend, those silken cords will never be snapped. They'll never be severed. And because we're bound to him, may I give you the chorus I quoted this morning. "Just where he needs me, my Lord has placed me. Just where he needs me, there would I be. And since he found me, by love he's bound me to serve him joyfully." Where? Just where he needs me. Oh, this turns the drudgery into delight. Turn the root weary routine into wonderful rejoicing and revival, doesn't it? Why am I in the very place where the Lord placed me? And just to serve him joyfully. But every ambassador has to be bonded. And this is a very, very important point. Our son Peter was working in the bank in London. And he was the internal teller in this particular bank. One day a knock came to our door in London. Now heavenly home, answering the door, a man said, "Excuse me, sir. Hey, but are you acquainted with Peter Boswell?" I said, "Yes, sir, I know Peter Boswell really well. Could you vouch for his character, veracity of his words?" Now I said, "Yes. Do you know anything that was derogatory or detrimental in his character that would hinder him from being in the bank?" I said, "No, not as far as I know, and I think I can speak with authority." "Well," he said, "that's all right, sir. Thank you very much." That's it, and he's all jotting it down. I said, "Wait a minute. Can you tell me why you're doing this? Is this a point of interest?" "Oh, yes," he says, Peter is working the bank, and he's come onto the permanent staff, and you know they've got to be bonded. And you being his neighbor, I thought probably you would know." And I said, "Well, yes, I do know. I'm not his neighbor. I'm his father." "Oh," he says, "sir, excuse me. But it's just routine. It's just routine. We've got to do this, you see. It's supposed to be so secret. You see? Sworn to secrecy. That was the word, my friend. And I want this to get across your heart. Each one of us tonight are bonded and we're branded by the government of heaven. I remember, we must be a citizen of heaven before we can be an ambassador in this foreign land, even in beautiful part of the palm. Isn't that true? The one of it all. We are bonded. Go to the Father, shall we, in meditation? Because time is going so fast. We must be above reproach. We must be above reproach. He must be a man of diplomacy. He must be a real diplomat in every sense of the word. Remember it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 15, "Ye are as light shining in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation." Remember, as I said this morning, I repeat it, those people, those governments in foreign lands, the peoples in foreign lands, they judge your country, they judge your government, they judge your royal family by you and by me. And tonight we are representatives of the heavenly government. We represent, my friend, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we must be above reproach. Beloved, the word is very clear. We must abstain from all appearance of evil. Now isn't that vital? May God by His Holy Spirit touch your heart and touch my heart tonight as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. In a word, our words must be our bond. All the danger. Someone coming and confiding in another. And what they've confided in the other person has come back to them through some other source. When you do that with teenagers, you'll never gain that teenager again. We do that with anyone. If someone comes and confides in you, my friend, you say you won't repeat that to anyone else, then please, for God's sake, don't repeat it. Remember, our words should be our bond. Whether in the home, in the business, in the church, in the college, wherever we may be, remember we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. What a high honor. What a dignity. Go to the next point, please. Then he must be selfless. He is selfless. My friend, an ambassador leaves home. And there this man must live. His life is not his own. He's got no opinion. Dear John McClindle said to me this morning, he's got no opinion of his own. He got even a voice's opinion. My friend, he must give the opinion of his government. And that opinion alone. Chap is trying for a job in civil service. He got past one and the other. Say, now, you're in. Just before you leave, go up to the head man, Mr. Smith upstairs. Talk things over with him. So there goes the conversation. The man applying for the job volunteered a suggestion. They said, oh, Mr. Smith, I was just thinking. Pardon? You think? You're no use for civil service. All the thinking's done for you. There's the whole thing, my friend and I. And an ambassador has no opinion of his own. An ambassador has no will of his own. He is a bond slave of his government and of his majesty. So are we. What an honor we got. The will of the master, the will of the master is our will. And our will is lost in his will. His opinion should be our opinion. May God give us grace. That leads me to the next point. We shall live in constant touch with the throne. My friend, having a clear way between your heart and the throne of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. Then the next point is that not only must he be selfless, the verse I want to give you for this is verse 15 of the chapter 5, 2 Corinthians. And he has died for all that they which should live, which they should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Dear child of God, get this. The ambassador's life must be a selfless life. It must be unselfish. It must be sacrificial. May God give us grace to recognize this. I will tell you, if you're a servant of Jesus Christ, your life is not your own. Bob Willie will tell you that. Our lives are not our own. We're at the beck and call any time of the day or hour. We're at the Lord's disposal. Because of this, Christian life is a selfless life. My friend, when you begin to consider your own rights and consider your own comfort, my friend, you cease to be a good ambassador. We are at the Lord's disposal. And we should always be adaptable and approachable at all times. John 12:24. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and give himself for me. Henceforth we should not live unto ourselves, but unto him who gave himself for us. Next part is steadfast. An ambassador must not only be selfless, he must be steadfast and loyal. Marked by steadfastness and by loyalty. Remember the verse, 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 58. Therefore, brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Then the ambassador must be ever attentive. Attentive. He must be alert. Attentive and alert. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 50. Do you remember the word? I quote them so often you during these past days. We are now ready. We will stand before thee are now ready to do whatsoever our Lord the King shall command. We are now ready to do. Are we? Another verse I want to give you in this connection though. Turn to this time. 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse number 8. 1 Kings 10 and verse number 8. This is a very lovely verse and I like it immensely. And I just want to share it with you. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and to hear thy wisdom. These are the words, my friend, the Queen of Sheba, as she came before Solomon. She gazed upon those in attendance, and what did she say? She recognized something. Happiest are thy men. Someone said today, are you always happy? Are you always joyful? Notice what it says, happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and hear thy wisdom. As we learn the secret, my friend, of waiting daily at his gate, with the open ear, the attentive ear, alert to his voice, we too shall be attentive and always alert. But then we must be diligent. Indeed, the ambassador must be diligent. No room for sloppiness, nor laziness. And it says in Romans 12, verse number 8, he that exalteth an exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, liberally, cheerfully, hilariously. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Verse number 11, not slothful in business. The Lord never encourages laziness, whether in the spiritual or in the physical. We must not be slothful in the business. The revised version, the definite article comes in. Then it says, fervent in spirit. What does Waymark say? Let us maintain the spiritual glow. Isn't that lovely? Fervent in spirit, maintaining the spiritual glow. And then it says these words, serving the Lord. So an ambassador must be diligent. Fervent in spirit, maintaining the spiritual glow, recognizing he's serving his Lord. Then, O-H-M-S. He recognizes he's on His Majesty's service. Isn't that just wonderful? Oh, just to think tonight we are the servants, the ambassadors of the highest realm of all. The realm of the kingdom of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we are here on our Majesty's service. Isn't it just wonderful? Amen? You still with me? Hey, that's all right then. One little verse of scripture. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 19. Keep rejoicing, friends, we're almost finished. That's right. Luke 1:19. Think of the great Gabriel, what he said. The angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. Now notice that stand. Notice four S's here. I mean the letter S. That stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. Oh, what a privilege. Notice that stand and sent to speak and to show. Beautiful words. What an outline for any preacher. May I give them again? A stand where? In the presence of God. Remember, we must know what it means to be in His presence before we can go and show and speak. Oh, I love this. Peter remembered first had an interview with the Lord before he went up to Jerusalem. May we ever have an interview with the Lord before we go to our Sunday school class, to our Bible class, in our gospel activity, in our ministry to God's people, or in visitation work. Be sure you know what it means to stand in the presence of the Lord. Know His mind, have His sweet smile of approval before you go forth. Remember what the Lord said to Elijah, go hide yourself. Then later on, go show yourself. We must know what it means to hide ourselves first before we can go and show ourselves. Not I, but Christ. May I pause? Remember that verse in John chapter 1 which says, I am a man. John was a man sent from God. I need a message from God to the people. So I stand before you tonight. My heart is challenged. And I pray, God, you'll recognize something of that challenge. Am I standing here as a man sent from God with a message from God for God's people tonight? My true ambassador, am I really beseeching in the name of the Lord? Or is there some ulterior motive? Oh, I pray, God, it's crystal clear that He is Lord. That you take your place in that class, take your place before that group. Can you truthfully say, dear one, I am a teacher sent from God? You wonder why your class is restless. You wonder why you don't get the attention, not the reverence in your class. Is it because of a badly prepared message? Is it just because you're going according to routine and habit? And you're not day by day, week by week, a man, a woman, a young person sent from God with a message from God? You have never been in His presence. Your class knows that. The class knows you can get a lot over my frame, grown-ups. You can pull the wool over grown-ups' eyes, but you'll never do over children, nor teenagers. They can see through you as quick as lightning. So next time your class is irreverent. Next class, your class is unruly and unattentive. I examine your heart. Have I been in the presence of God? Have I got the God's message for this class? Am I God's servant for this class? For this congregation? This is vital. But as ambassadors, we must know what it is to stand in the presence of God. And know we are sent to speak and to show. Why I said all that, I don't know. The last point is very important. An ambassador may be recalled. An ambassador can be rewarded. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30. For this cause some are weak and sickly and some sleep. Sometimes because an ambassador has dropped his grace or his honor upon the name of his country and his government, he's been withdrawn and often discharged. And many of ambassadors might pray because of the stand taken and because of the true representation of the government and the royal family. They have been decorated and they have been rewarded. Oh, may we never be recalled as ambassadors or as true servants of Jesus Christ. May we know no other motive than the constraining love of Christ. Have no other objective in our ministry than the glory of God, with one purpose, that He is Lord. He alone must be exalted, not I, but Christ. Then in that coming day, we shall hear the well done, good and perfect servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now the verse I quoted with last night, 2 Timothy 4:8, verse 7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, the crown. And I want to give you one verse and I want you to look at it with me. Luke's Gospel, please. And chapter 6 and verse 23 is the closing text tonight. Then we go on tomorrow morning with the letter N and finish it tomorrow evening. God willing. Please, if you can come out tomorrow morning, whatever you intended doing, then don't you do that. Because Jim Monson's got to do some work. Aye, but, chapter 6, please, and verse 23. We'd love to have you tomorrow morning, and then there's a closing meeting tomorrow. You get on the phone, tell your friends about the closing service. I remember 2 years ago, this place was packed to capacity. On that last night we were here. I'll never forget that in all my life. And what God did that closing night. I'm still hearing reports from that particular night. I rejoice. And God's still able to do this tonight. He has been working. We trust in even greater things, don't we? Let us do all in our power. Verse 23, please. The ambassadors returned. What's it saying? Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. The words now I frame you, I repeat them. As ambassadors hear the Lord saying to you tonight, if you're having it difficult in your short and small corner, ways not easy, rather uphill, pretty difficult, not seeing too much fruit from your faithful sowing, you shall reap if you faint not. Never grow weary in well-doing. Press on with a single eye to God's glory. Your body will be full of light. Listen what he said. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. Why not do it now? For behold, your reward is great in heaven. Your reward is great in heaven. It is great right here, now. May God bless his word. And we sing together number 400, and I think it is 86. 486. Yes. 386. The reason why my friends were whispering at the back, they've had to go. Because we're all going down to the lounge, aren't we? A little time of refreshment and fellowship, I'm sure the Lord will bless you. 486, rescue the perishing. Sing of the words again, we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. A grand old hymn, wonderful word, all together, 486, the rescue the perishing. Take care for the dying. Retreat not long ago, and seemed ironical that those great group of full-blooded young people sitting there with their feet up on forms and chairs just lazing around singing, rescue the perishing. It seemed to be a real contradiction. There they were so smug and so comfortable, and here we sing tonight, rescue the perishing. Eh? God bless your heart and mind. Verse number 2. And all the unlighting him. Sisters will sing the third verse. Notice the words. Oh, how they find an echo in heart, ears, and night. The third verse, just the sisters. Thank you. Holy Father, thou who knows the heart of all mankind, thou art searching into our hearts here and now. I forgive us for knowing so much theoretically and for practicing so little day by day. Help us, O God, to practice just what we preach. Help us, O God, to live just as we pray. And grant, O God, tonight we may be true ambassadors, representing our absent yet soon coming Lord. Grant, O God, it may be ours in that coming day as we hear the marshalling shout to rise up and to meet him in the air. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Holy Father, should there be someone here tonight who's not yet reconciled to thee, oh, may that reconciliation take place tonight. The glory may be brought to thy wonderful name and joined to the heart of the one reconciled and rejoicing in the presence of angels and join the hearts of the company here for Christ our Redeemer's sake. Amen.